Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to The Topic is Trek. Yay! I want to give a big shout out to the people in charge of the Trek Track for letting us have a panel this year. So big hand for the Trek Track people.
Thank you.
So we are the podcast that runs on impulse power, and we just haven't worked our way up to anything more than that.
It's because everything's an impulse.
I'm going to tell you a bit more about the podcast, but before I do that, I want to introduce my co-hosts here and have them tell you a little bit about themselves, their background, both in podcasting, maybe a little bit on that, and also how you get introduced to Trek and anything you want to say about Trek in general.
Yeah, so... I'm just assuming I'm starting. I'm Craig Stipp, and I've been podcasting for about 13, 14 years now. I've been running this award-winning podcast, Technorama, and this guy over there helps me. It's Chuck. Star Trek has been a big part of Technorama because we, you know, find humor and fascination in it, you know, just like anything else. And when I started watching Star Trek, for me, I did come in on the rerun era, but it was more for, you know, I'd ask my parents, hey, can we watch Star Trek and eat dinner in front of the TV? And we would have, you know, move the TV trays in there and watch TV and watch Star Trek. And then, of course, $6 Million Man that would come on after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was one of those kids that would record the audio off the TV. I'd put some masking tape with a microphone so I could listen to them later and see if I could just imagine what was going on, you know, along with it. But that's part of my Trek experience. How about you guys?
Okay, I got to throw things over to Chuck.
Yeah, I got to admit, I'm also a syndication child, but I caught it in a slightly different way because we would have to babysit my grandpa. He was getting old and wasn't quite all there. My grandma would need to go out and do some chores. Well, she had one of those big console TVs that took up about half the living room, size of a piano, large piano. But we weren't allowed to touch it. So whatever channel she set it to, that was where you stayed. Sometimes we watched Bill Kennedy at the movies on TV 50 out of Detroit. Anybody remember WKBD?
No? I do not.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I also do not.
Or sometimes it was Lawrence Welk. Yeah, that was... I swear that was on all day. It was like a Lawrence Welkathon.
Remember that episode when he was in Star Trek? Ooh.
And sometimes it was Star Trek. So, of the three, I preferred Star Trek. It wasn't like pick your less poisonous poison, but that's where I started. And then as I got into high school and later on, I connected up with some friends who had similar interests. And I found out that you're not a true Trekkie until you build your first Enterprise. Well, a friend of mine and I in college took this to a new extreme, and we started an electronic bulletin board. Everybody remember BBSs?
Yes.
We ran a BBS called the Enterprise BBS that we wrote. So it was, because we're software developers at heart, we went to school for computer science degrees, and that was our enterprise. We can literally say we built an enterprise. We built a community around this and have a lot of fun with that. Like Craig said, we've been doing podcasting since 2005, 2004, whatever it was in the Stone Age when you had to hand chisel your RSS feed, that kind of thing. And
it's tough on my skin.
Yeah. Also, the co-author of Podcasting for Dummies. You have that copy handy?
I put it back in the room, unfortunately. Imagine Podcasting for Dummies.
Black and yellow book. It was a prop. I was going to sit out there at a sad table. One book.
Hey, my book.
I couldn't sell it, so I gave it to Clinton.
There you go. Hey, that's why I got it? All right. I'm going to remember that. Well, my name is Clinton, and I do a podcast called Comedy Forecast, and I've been doing that since June of 2005. My background in Star Trek goes back pretty much as far as you can go. The first thing I watched was the very first episode on NBC in September of 1966 in black and white, so the color was kind of lost on me at that point, but we eventually got a color television set before the end of the run. And I became fascinated by it instantly, and I was very sad when it went off the air. I was one of those people that was writing the letters to keep it on the air.
Dear Mr. Roddenberry, are there yes. two D's or one D?
I don't know. It was in crayon, so I don't really know. Saying not how old I am, but but over the years, I got involved in Trek in different ways. I became a member of the Boston Star Trek Association, and I was in that club for about 20 years. A lot of good things came out of that, a lot of friends, and also that's where I met my wife, Bonnie, in the BSCA. We also were involved with conventions, so I did conventions including the 20th anniversary for Star Trek that Gene Roddenberry was at, and I was very thrilled because I got to introduce him for one of his talks, so that was pretty cool. And recently, a couple things that I've done on YouTube seem to have gotten a lot of exposure. I did a video called Red Shirts, which is the death of all the red shirts in TOS, and it's set to I'm Alive from Xanadu.
Dating yourself again.
Indeed. And the other one is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. I had done that for a party, and I wasn't initially going to put it on YouTube, but then I saw what was officially put out for the 50th anniversary, which was about a 3-minute segment from Paramount Pictures, which only was the motion pictures because that's all they had the rights to. And it was not very good. So I think the fact that I was able to present an alternative to that was probably why I got so many views on that. If you want to check those out at some point, just go to YouTube Comedy Forecast for that. All right, that's a bit of our background. The background on the podcast is this podcast is a little over a year old, but in theory it should be about 3 or 4 years old.
10.
Feels like it.
Because,
oh, wait, no.
Well, we started talking about doing this at a Dragon Con several years ago. Yeah, we should get to that. Never, the next year, the same thing again. Finally, when Star Trek was going to be coming back on the air, we said, gee, we really need to get to doing this show. And that's how we ended up with the topic is Trek. We do a little bit of everything on the show, and what we're going to do for the live show is not necessarily the show you would hear normally, but it's all the elements that you would hear normally. This is more of an evergreen show. So when we talk about the latest news, it's going to be stories that we have talked about in the past with a twist. We're also going to do a main mission, and that's where we talk about one subject. But instead of being something topical, we're again going to make it kind of an evergreen topic. And then we also have a segment at the end, which is called our Warp Speed Roundtable, where we normally talk about one subject very quickly, get everybody's opinion, and then we make a decision on that topic. But this time, we're going to have you guys involved in that as well. So let's get started. To get started with our first segment, which we call Subspace Chatter, but for these purposes, we're going to call Subspace Chatter Everything Harry Tells You Is a Lie. I need to have a volunteer from the audience. I have a volunteer right here. Come on up, sir. Give this gentleman a hand. And what is your name?
Ryan.
All right, Ryan. Good to meet you.
Hey.
If we could have you stand right over here. What's going to happen is we're going
to
read...
Don't cover Picard. Just come to the side. There you go.
Can you hear us from where you're standing?
Yes.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to read 3 stories. 2 of the stories are ones that we covered on The Topic is Trek. This is not a quiz in that sense because you're probably going, well, I've never listened to the show.
But nobody has.
But one of the stories is a fake story.
Okay.
And your mission is to figure out which one of these 3 stories is not a real story.
Sounds good.
We're going to start with Craig.
And what if he guesses the right story?
If he guesses the right story, he gets a prize.
All right.
If he guesses the wrong story, he'll probably get a prize.
Yeah.
But we won't tell him that.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that from me.
It's a win-win situation. All right, so our first story. The mayor of Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, and its six town councilors often sport ceremonial United Federation of Planets jackets at public functions. In fact, they donned the uniforms last November in Calgary at the annual Alberta Urban Municipalities Association Convention. The group was reportedly asked to please stand in the back for the official convention photo. But the councils are saying that their signature fashion statement is approaching the final frontier. On Monday, the Vulcan Council approved plans to replace their aging jackets, some of which have been passed down from council members to council members for years, including one that's 17 years old, and it appears to sport several Sarium brandy stains.
I hope they've been washing those things.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they got a budget for dry cleaning. Vulcan resident Caitlin Berta told the council that the cost for each jacket would be approximately $620 for a total of about $4,340 or 10,000 quatloos for those of you counting at home. Councilor Lyle Magnuson said that the cost was a lot of money when he first looked at the estimate, but did like the fact that the local residents is making the jackets rather than sending the work off-world.
Okay, so that's story number one about a town council needing new uniforms. Second story. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police Detachment to Vulcan, Alberta, Canada finds the latest request from the town's tourism board to be totally illogical. Sergeant Jonathan Ward has reportedly been asked to change the identification on his squad cars to match the registration numbers of starships in the classic television series Star Trek during the town's Vulcan Days parade. The RCMP has previously cooperated with the town during their various science fiction conventions, Sergeant Ward said, but we find the request to alter our official vehicles to be referred to as NCC 1701 or NCC 74656 a bit extreme. Vulcan Tourism Director Terry Simons explained, "We tried to work with Sergeant Ward and the detachment on this. We even offered to change NCC to RCMP, but they simply wouldn't budge." In years past, the Vulcan Detachment has agreed to give the classic Vulcan hand salute as they marched in the town's Vulcan Day parade and wear Star Trek badges on their uniforms. But it looks like rebranding their vehicles is a place the RCMP will not boldly go.
You right, got all that?
Story number two.
Still awake?
Got it. Still awake.
All right. This just into the topic is Trek Newswire. It won't be large enough to hold a pair of humpback whales, but residents of the town of Vulcan, Alberta, Canada... You sensing a theme? Residents of the town of Vulcan, Alberta, Canada are hoping to build a new Star Trek-themed swimming pool to replace their existing pool, which was built back in 1977. Quote, "The staff are saying that it sort of has a spongy bottom," explained Vulcan Lions Club member Bob Markertz. It was unclear if he was speaking about the pool or Star Trek. The pool would be part of a proposed water park that would feature classic Star Trek colored scheme. The area would also incorporate the splash park with the Starship Enterprise waterfall, red, blue, and gold picnic tables, and a spiral slide painted in the classic red shirt red, as modeled by Craig Stepp. A first aid station may be installed nearby. I like that maybe. You may die, you may not. In order to pay for the new pool, the town is holding a Canada Day fundraiser, includes a silent auction, beer gardens, horseshoe tournament, and pancake breakfast. No word on the cost of the breakfast, but since the town needs to raise $3 million, you could bet that a stack of pancakes is expected to be priced out of this world.
Okay. All right. So our three stories are outfits being replaced by the town council, the RCMP being asked to rename their squad cars for the Vulcan parade, or a new swimming pool facility for the town of Vulcan, Alberta, Canada. Which is the fake story?
I say the third story is the fake story.
The fake story is the RCMP squad cars. But valiant effort. What do we have as a lovely prize?
Pick something from the prize chair. We don't have a table, we have a chair.
All right. Give them the aluminum.
My choice. Which one? Oh, that one there. Okay, great.
There we go.
You want to present that?
Yeah.
Craig?
Here you go.
Can give that
straight in from Dr. Scotty is some
transparent
aluminum.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So there you go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Big hand again. All right, we have time for another story, and we have many valuable prizes left to give away.
Hey, honey,
do we have another volunteer?
What did you win at DragonCon? Right.
Oh. Back here.
Hey, live on in Crossburg.
Yes.
All right. 10 whole years.
Spock is my favorite.
All right.
Well, you can stand in front of Picard then.
Mic here. Oh, we got your mic here first. And what is your name?
Maya.
Maya. Okay, yeah. Maya. So you know how the game is played.
Yeah.
And yet you volunteered, so that's amazing. Oh, okay.
I am volunteering with Disability Services, but next year I think I'm going to try to volunteer at this track.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do everything we can to make your experience a pleasant one.
Yeah.
So once again, we're going to have three stories. Two of these stories are ones we actually covered on The Topic is Trek. I know in that last one, we cover a lot of Vulcan Alberta Canada stories just because I find it very fascinating to do that.
Fascinating.
Indeed. See? Spock is your favorite. So we will start once again with Craig.
All right.
Story number one.
Brace yourselves. Yourself. Wait a minute. Here you go. Police in Derry, Northern Ireland have appealed for information for the public after nearly 4,000 Star Trek trading cards were transported away from a neighborhood home during a burglary that was worthy of a Ferengi. A police spokesperson was quoted as saying, "I cannot change the laws of physics, but I can I try to return stolen property and solve crimes."
I love the accent, Craig.
Crimes.
Don't say anything, Barry. Don't say anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The spokesperson, who may or may not be dressed in Starfleet attire, went on to explain the burglary had occurred in the city of Derry, that at approximately 3,800 Star Trek trading cards were stolen. He said that the cards had quite a high value. Some speculated that the statement meant that there were no Star Trek V crate trading cards among the stolen property. "If you have seen or been offered any of these cards, please let us know," a spokesperson pleaded. And they concluded, briefing the well-known Star Trek quote, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one." No one attending the briefing pointed out that such a quote indicated that the cards should be freely distributed to any and all takers.
All right, so that's story number one, Star Trek trading card theft. Story number two. During a recent amnesty program in the UK and Channel Islands, police received a wide variety of weapons, including a shotgun disguised as a walking stick, a crossbow, an air pistol from the 1920s, and a 9mm Luger. However, one item turned into authorities in Guernsey went where no weapon had gone before, namely a lethal Klingon war sword known as a Batleth. Appearing before the press, wielding the 5-foot-long Klingon war sword, Chief Inspector Phil Brebin explained, "This is ultimately about public safety. We are assessing them as we go and running the serial numbers against the national database in case any of them have been used to commit a crime."
Batleths have serial numbers now?
Well, it was unknown if the surrendered Batleth featured a serial number or whether it was in Arabic numerals or Klingonese. With regards to the weapons, Brebin went on to say, all of them will be destroyed, although any with significant historical value or interest could go to a museum.
It was the Sword of Kaelas.
If it is discovered... Right. Stop reading ahead. If it is discovered that the Batleth is the legendary Sword of Kaelas, the Unforgettable, authorities will need to decide if the weapon will stay in Guernsey or be returned to the Klingon homeworld of Konos. That is story number two, the turning in of a Batleth. Story number three.
Remember, some of these are true stories. Story number three comes to us from Riverside, Iowa. Once again, the statue of James T. Kirk is in the news. In June of this year at Trekfest, the town revealed a new statue of Kirk that is supposedly created with William Shatner's blessing to commemorate Riverside as the character's future birthplace. In the days that followed, it turned controversial given that neither William Shatner nor CBS had given the express permission to produce it. Shatner was quoted on Twitter saying, "I never gave an okay. CBS would have to authorize it if I don't have that authority. I don't even think it looks like me." I'm sure he did it much better than that. The statue remains, but is now the subject of another story. On Tuesday, police responded to calls that the statue has been vandalized. Upon arriving at Hall Park, officers promptly arrested Jacob Miller, age 28, of Riverside, as a suspect. The statue had its clothing painted blue with the Starfleet insignia painted yellow. During questioning from investigators, Jacob Miller admitted to the defacing of the statue and claimed that he was trying to correct it by making it appear as the TV character T.J. Hooker. T.J. Hooker is a fictional police officer played by William Shatner for 5 seasons. Currently on tour at screenings for The Wrath of Khan, during a Q&A session with the audience, one attendee asked William Shatner about the vandalism. After reviewing the new photo, he replied, "It still doesn't look like me."
All right, so there are the three stories. The theft of Star Trek trading cards, the turning in of a Bat'leth during an amnesty, or the defiling of a statue of James T. Kirk to make him look like T.J. Hooker.
Well, after listening to them carefully, and I do go into details, but I will try to keep it as minimum as possible. So, first off, I thought it would be the trading card story, and then I thought it was the Klingon one. Or, actually, at first I thought that one would be real, but I think it's going to be the Bat'leth one myself.
So you believe that the Bat'leth story is fake?
Yeah.
The fake story is the defiling of the T.J. Hooker statue. However, Maya, you have done an outstanding job. Your logic was impeccable, impeccable as well. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah. Just play some 3D chess.
Well, yeah, the reason why I chose to keep the Will Shatner one is because he's so celebrated all over the place, and you made him sound so real.
Stop encouraging him.
Yeah. You're not helping.
So you get a lovely Mirror Universe Tribble.
All right.
It's an evil, blood-sucking Tribble.
It has a set of teeth.
There you go.
I don't think it makes noise because I don't think you'd like to know what that noise would sound like.
And she loves the blood-sucking Tribble. Mm. All right.
Can do one more. Oh, no. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Zombie Tribble brains.
Brains.
Okay, so we're going to move on at this point to our next segment.
But we're not doing story number 3?
We can hold it.
Oh, special. Okay.
Ready. All right, for our next segment, sometimes we will have a special presentation. Recently, Craig reviewed a Star Trek book. We've reviewed other things. So it's a thing that falls in between our news stories and our main mission. And I'm just going to take a few minutes to talk about something that I did recently that was Star Trek related. And it was a life-changing experience, I guess you could call it that, and that's because I played the game Star Trek Online for a month. Playing this game was interesting because I don't play video games. I'm not coordinated to do that type of game to begin with, and I certainly have never played a multi-massive online role-playing game at all. So I was coming into this thing with a lot of trepidations, and they were well-founded. I don't know, who in the audience has played Star Trek Online? Okay, so your experience is obviously going to be a lot different than mine. I start off the game, and I have to create a character. And my first thought is, well, I've never played this game before, and one of the options is to play a Jem'Hadar. And I thought, that's awesome, I'll play a Jem'Hadar. a warning box comes up and says, you know, he starts at like level bajillion in the game. Okay, I'm just going to play a Starfleet officer instead. Never mind. Then I have to name my character. So I thought I would come up with something, you know, very simple, easy to keep track of, something just roll off the tongue. So he's Bosworth Carmichael Pennington. And then I'm asked to name a ship. And I decided to name my ship the Literally. Because literally, I have no idea what I'm doing in this game. So the game starts, and I say, all right, now what's going to happen? Oh, I'm getting a little bit of backstory. And actually, it's Leonard Nimoy as Spock giving me backstory. I'm thinking, okay, he's going to get me up to speed. What's happening? What's happening is everything is just going to pot. The Romulan homeworlds have exploded. The Klingons see this as an opportunity to move in and expand their empire. The Federation tries to stay nicey-nicey with them, but when the Klingons start blowing up their ships, they go, I think it's time we start seeing other empires. The Dominion is coming back. We have the Borg returning. And, of course, the Romulans aren't really happy with what's going on. And then Spock says, good luck saving the universe. And the game begins. Now, I'm starting off as a cadet, and I'm starting off at Starfleet Academy. So clearly, this is a good place to start. I'm going to have a long time to figure out how to, you know, deal with alien races and learn about alien biology and all things about engineering. And, oh, it's graduation day. I'm arriving on graduation day. Okay, I get it. There was a really good party the night before because I don't remember any of my work here at Starfleet Academy. All right.
Too much synthahol.
So what am I supposed to do? Well, my first mission is a really tough one. I'm supposed to walk 20 feet and talk to the person in front of me. Except I don't play these games. I don't know how to do that. So I'm standing still in this spot, and suddenly the game says, would you like some help with how to walk? Because I think the game assumed that either that or you really want to be the newest statue in the courtyard. So I say, yes, please, please give me some help. All right, this is what you do. You press this button to do left, this to right, this forward. Okay, got it. All right, got that down. I press the button to go forward, and I make a roll forward. I don't walk.
A Kirk roll?
It's not a Kirk roll. A Kirk roll would be kind of cool. This is just, you know, I expect someone to come up with cards going, you know, 6.5, 9.7. I get up to the person I'm supposed to talk to. They don't seem to mind that happened. So I talk to them for a second. They, oh, thank you for all the help you've given me with all my assignments. And I'm going, I don't remember any of that either or who you are. But then they say, you need to talk to this person. And then I got to go talk to that person. And I got to go talk to that person. I'm going all over the courtyard. But understand, I'm not coordinated. I'm not going walking along. I'm walking through the pond, scaring the fish. I'm walking through the bushes. I'm hitting trees. I'm walking into people. Finally, I get this notification that I'm supposed to go see Captain Taggart. And I figure, all right, I'm in trouble because he's seen what's been going on here. I walk in to his office, and his office is as big as this room, and his desk is way over there. I'm supposed to walk way over there. Do I walk?
No.
Nay, nay. I do a roll. Get up to his desk. He doesn't seem to mind either. He says, you know, I like what you've been doing here at Starfleet Academy. Have you looked at what I've been doing? Are you sure about this? He says, I want you to be on my senior staff. All right. We're hitting the bottom of the barrel here, obviously. It's Starfleet. But you have to take advanced phaser training first.
Oh, boy.
All right. I don't remember taking phaser training, obviously, but okay, good. I'm going to learn something. Finally, I'm going to get some skills.
Roll right into it.
All I've got to do is find out where the building is that I'm supposed to go to. Wander, 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 pond, bushes, knock into people, climbing up trees. You know, Boothby is like, yeah, get out of my courtyard. I finally find an open door. I don't care. It's an open door. I'm walking inside of it. And it happens to be the right place, which is good. So I go inside, and I get a phaser, and I go into a holosuite, and I'm supposed to, you know, do this phaser training, and I noticed that I'm on a Klingon ship. Ooh, it's going to be Klingons. It's going to be really rough. My rolling skills are going to come in really handy at this point. All right. So the doors open up, and there's the Klingon bridge, and it's all murky, you know, like just full of smoke, like they've been vaping in there or something. I don't know what they're doing inside.
The Targ is vaping.
There's four Klingons in the room, and they see me. It's one of me, four of them. I'm outnumbered. And I realize, first of all, no one told me how to fire the phaser.
You went to advanced training.
I know. I should know how to do these things. And I'm waiting for that to happen. And the first Klingon comes towards me, because obviously the way Klingons attack is one at a time rather than all at once, which is really helpful. I get a notice. Oh, you just click on the click. I click. I shoot. And then I notice that the Klingons aren't hitting me. They're shooting at the ceiling and the floor and the walls. It's their first day too, apparently. So we're all in this boat together.
Former stormtroopers?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, yeah.
And so I kill them all? I mean, they're holograms. I don't know what to... But I finish that, and I turn around, and there's Captain Taggart. And I'm expecting, you know, the Picard, oi.
Baseball.
No. What he says is, I like the cut of your jib. I'm making you my first officer.
Whoa.
You're on a roll.
Yeah.
Oh.
Many of them. All right, so now I've got to go, and I've got to give the toast, apparently, for the send-off. I've got to make my way to the shuttle bay to give this toast. And I go to the shuttle bay, and it's out in the open. There's lots of shuttles there, and there's a bar. It's not a temporary bar. It's a bar that's in where the shuttles are. I'm going, to drink and warp, is this really such a good idea? Especially with these cadets. But I give my toast. It's rather mundane. We're all going to work on this story together. And then a pop-up comes up and says, are you ready to get in the shuttle? No, I am not ready to get in the shuttle. Is there another option? I figure there's another option. I click, I'm in the shuttle. Okay, so there's no other options. Why did you bother to ask me? I find my way to the ship, and the biggest kick I got out of it was this beauty pass by the ship, and there on the hull, it says, USS literally.
You made it. I arrived.
So I arrive in the shuttle bay on the ship, and I'm supposed to report to the bridge. And that's when it hits me. Okay, I'm on a training cruise with a ship full of cadets. What could possibly go wrong?
You need the first officer.
Yes. So I get into the turbo lift. I go to the bridge. There's Captain Taggart. There's some of the other senior cadets. And Captain Taggart says the logical thing, sit down. I don't know how to sit down. I'm just rolling around the bridge, doing the finally the computer says, just click on the chair, sit down. As soon as I sit down, sure enough, we get a distress call. We go to that location. The ship is ambushed by the Klingons. The Klingons transport the captain over to the other ship. They kill the captain, and I get a notice that I am now the acting captain
of
the USS Literally.
You should have never sat down.
And that is how I spent my first day in Star Trek Online. Huh.
You did it 30 days more?
Yes, 30 days more.
I'd say that was a little faster than Kirk did it.
So, now it is time to head off on our main mission.
Press the buttons?
Sure, press the button.
All right.
There we go.
These are the high production values we actually have on the show as well. So, in our main mission, we normally talk about a topic, as I said, that's current. We've talked recently about Star Trek with or without Chris Pine, those type of things. But in this one, I wanted to have something a bit different. So what I said is that Star Trek, the original series, as well as Next Generation and Voyager, have all had theme park attractions and rides based after them. If you recall, Star Trek, the original series, had a thing called the Star Trek Adventure. There was one at Universal Hollywood, and there was a different one at Universal Orlando, and that ran for several years. And then, of course, a moment of silence for the Star Trek Experience.
Too soon.
Where, yes, too soon indeed. Where we had Next Generation and Voyager involved, and there's nothing like seeing a giant 50-foot Janeway peering down at you in the seats.
It's actually 10 years ago this weekend.
Please, that please. Too soon. Way too soon. Way too soon. But I was thinking, all right, so what rides and attractions would we have based on Deep Space Nine or Enterprise or Discovery? Because they've never had anything. So I've thrown it out to Chuck, Craig, and I'm also will also be asking people in the audience if they have any ideas as well.
You'll catch on quick.
Yes.
This isn't hard.
So why don't we start off with your first idea or two?
Craig? All right. So I thought that there would be a game attraction at the amusement park, and we would do Worf's Batless and laser tag. You know, so you go in the dark. You're armed with a laser and a batless. Have fun.
Okay.
And it's rigged so you miss everything, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
That's right.
Lots of
because if you're Klingon, you miss everything, apparently, according to Clinton.
That's right.
All right. Well, I have one, and mine is called Star Trek Enterprise Path of Destruction. And it's an escape room thing. People familiar with that concept?
Sounds like the name of an episode.
Well, it could be. So what happens in here is you go into this escape room and your mission is to get off a planet that's in the path of a comet. But every time you're about to actually exit the escape room, a Vulcan comes along and says, "I'm sorry, you're not ready yet," and just sends you right back in again.
You roll over back to the beginning?
I roll backwards back to the beginning again. All right, how about you, Craig? Chuck, looking this way and thinking that way.
He's already skipped over me. I have one. This is based on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. One of my favorite characters, Morn. Quiet man at the bar, right? Or beast or whatever he was. This is called Morn's Wild Ride. I leave it to you to imagine what this ride is all about.
It's very quiet.
Sitting in his bar stool.
Right, you just sit there on the bar stool.
Bring a Norm character in to sit next to him.
Well, I thought of the Rollo Holodeck, where it's a roller coaster in the holodeck, and just goes, and it's infinite and doesn't stop.
So you never get off.
You never get off. You go upside down, all around.
Is it a Mobius strip?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Well, I thought of one that's the Disco Carousel, and you ride on your own tardigrade, which sounds really cool. That's really nice. Except you're not going to be happy about how you get secured to the tardigrade. If you've seen that booth, those going to attach you in there.
That's very similar to one that I had from Enterprise. It's called Stamets' Booth of Fun. They put you in the booth. They hook you up. Never mind the fact that most people don't have the things for their arms. And you see some sparkly stuff float around for a while. And you come out feeling groovy.
And I also thought, you know, in an amusement park, there's always nice greenery. You know, they have bushes and stuff to kind of make the place look great. But you got to be careful for the punishment zones. So don't step in those. We know what happened to Wesley, right? Rob knows.
Then I was thinking of the DS9 Move Along Home kids play area. No one ever goes there.
They can't get past the first chap. Then there's the very exciting, completely dark room. We call this Enterprise The Void. There's nothing in there. You just sit there for four seasons.
And, of course, there's a kids section with a triple ball crawl. There's one evil one in there. You just got to be careful.
Yes, yeah, so I was going to say, yes. Then I was thinking of Malcolm Reed's shooting gallery. You don't shoot the targets, you just sacrifice yourself so your friends can get away. That's all there is to that one.
I'm out. I leave it up. Anybody have an idea?
Oh, we've got
lots. Okay, let's get a microphone over there.
Thank you. So I've got two. They're both like things you would find kind of in the games section of amusement park. One is a whack-a-mole situation where Wesley Crusher's head comes up and starts to say "Captain," and you smack him. And every time you connect, you hear Picard's voice saying, "Shut up, Wesley," and just back and forth, back and forth.
Shut up, Wesley.
And the other one is a Deep Space Nine boxing simulator where you play the part of Captain Sisko, and you just get to punch Q. It's
be down for that.
Very popular.
He hit me. We had another hand up.
Very violent games, Daniel.
Go over here, and then which one? You get right there.
Daniel, are you working through some issues or something?
First off, I want to beg to differ. There was Quark's bar at the Star Trek Experience.
Yes. There was. Yes. There was. We acknowledge that, yes.
But personally, I think we need to have a room with lots of music and call it a disco.
There you go.
All right. Fair enough.
The party room. The disco room.
By the way, despite several Warp Core breaches, I do remember Quark's bar. So.
We can call that the disco disco. There you go.
Okay, so I have an idea where they lock you in a dark room with a bunch of mushrooms, you eat some mushrooms, and then you're hurtling through space. And that's it. That's the entire experience.
You just described the whole season of Discovery.
Yes. They just lock you in a dark room with a bunch of mushrooms, and that's it.
Okay.
1963.
Yeah. Yeah, that episode was in the 60s, Harrison.
Yeah, I'd call mine Evening with Garrick, where you just get to sit down at the table and watch him stare at you for 4 hours.
Wow.
Is Erectogino involved or anything? Yeah. Or no, nothing? Okay.
Gazing at Garrick?
It would be meditating, Garrick.
You also spend 4 hours waiting for
you. I'm listening.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Yes, sorry. Nice lady in the back, ma'am.
That's not me. No, the James T. Kirk Tunnel of Love.
Oh,
my.
Oh, my.
Ooh. You can buy that for a dollar. There we go, right there.
Do I get a double ride?
We had another hand up, I think.
Gary?
Oh, okay.
I've got one I was going to tell you.
Sure. Go ahead. Go for it.
So you remember the scene where Picard had to stare at those four lights?
Yes.
And get tortured, so that's where you're at. You're in that torture scene the whole
naked?
Time. And you're like, or is it... Yes, that'll be even better. Yes. Is it three lights or four lights for the entire ride?
That I like how he says, that would be even better.
Yeah, I was gonna say, no hesitation, just boom.
I mean, add like three more forms of torture and you have the O'Brien experience.
Oh. Yeah.
The O'Brien experience is you standing at a console for 4 hours. Nobody calls, nobody does anything.
That's work. That's work, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's his work day.
It's called Get to Engineering. You imagine the captain tells you to go down to engineering during a battle, so you have to go through a ninja warrior-like course to make it to
Jeffrey's
engineering.
It's all Jeffrey's tubes.
Like a galaxy.
Yeah.
There's also cooking with Spock.
Yeah.
Make all the Vulcan palmeek soup you can eat.
My attraction is Operation Borg, and it's like a giant operation game, and you got to remove Borg pieces like tweezer with tweezers.
Why not use a real Borg? I have no problem with that.
Remove bionic eye.
Anybody else? Oh, I'm getting one more.
Okay, so just one employee in the entire park is a changeling, and you just have to find out who.
Oh! Ooh. Well, that goes with my get far too up close and personal with the aliens in the Founder's swimming pool.
At the snack bar, I'll have a bucket of Odo.
Mine's for the kids, like a Build-A-Bashir's bear.
It sounds so sweet.
This is for the adult theme park, but it's called 7 minutes with 7 of 9.
That's optimistic.
That's optimistic.
So for arts and crafts, you can go sew with Captain Picard. Make it sew.
I see.
I think it's a...
Oh, I like it.
Nice. Anyone else have anything? Oh!
The wedding chapel. Engage.
Oh, the wedding chapel. Engage.
Doesn't that happen in the Kirk Tunnel of Love, actually?
Oh, yes, right after the...
Okay,
this is a terrible ride!
Yeah, then there's the divorce chapel with disengaged, like Scott was saying.
We'll get to the shuttle potter airlock.
Wait for the mic. Wait for the mic so we can get that.
There's a fashion walkway called Set Phasers to Stunning.
Clever.
Yeah, we forgot to bring tomatoes up here.
He's working on his dad humor.
My son also wore the red shirt.
So there's also the bungee jump where you jump into the volcano on Kronos and become uncomfortably close to the hydro bomb. So we've got that as well. All right, so I think you get the general idea. If you come up with any later on, you can always send them to us at The Topic is Trek. Just go to our Facebook page, The Topic is Trek, and we'll open up a chat for that, a post about any further ideas about
sure
things.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I look like, and you're going to do that, right? Yeah. I can do that. I know how Facebook works.
Why not?
And so that was our main mission. And now that our main mission is over, we have our warp speed roundtable.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Warp engines at full.
Are they? Hey, can somebody get out and push?
Oh, they stopped all of a sudden. That was very unnerving.
You're the captain.
Okay. Acting captain. And boy, this is some acting, isn't it? All right, so for our warp speed roundtable, we have several things that we do for this. This isn't one type of game that we play. We have things like would you rather this or would you rather that. We've done what would get you kicked out of Starfleet Academy, or which holodeck or holosuite story would you jump into. Which animated series character would you like to be made real? Whether it's, you know, Arix or Emress or the Glommer, perhaps. And then the one that we're going to be doing tonight is called Shuttle Pod or Airlock.
Yay! One of my favorites.
Yes.
It's kind of what it sounds like, actually. We discuss a character and we decide, does that character deserve to get a shuttle pod and go happily on their way? Or do they get blown out an airlock? So for this one, we thought long and hard about what character we were going to choose.
Porthos.
Yes, that's what we decided on, Porthos.
No?
No. All right.
Too soon?
Too soon. So in the past, we've had characters like Kyle and Q and the Traveler. But this time around, it's going to be our dearly beloved Broccoli. Yes, of course, Reginald Barclay. Is he going to get a shuttle pod or the airlock? Now, we have our opinions, and I'm actually on the fence about this one. This is a case where we'd like to hear from you whether you think one way or another about Barclay, and why? Why do you feel that way, that he deserves to live, or he should go on to greener pastures? Does anyone have a thought to this is going to be, he's going to be up to our, all right, well, what, oh, here we go. We've got a person right here who's going to defend or kill.
What do you
defile.
Got, Rob? Convince us.
I'm going to say shuttle pod because, I mean, I really identify with Barclay, and I don't want to go on an airlock. So, I mean, and I'm sure a lot of us identify with Barclay. So.
Has he done anything to convince you that he deserves this?
Just because he reminds me of me. That's good enough for me.
Okay. I was going to say he made this cool coil in First Contact to make a still.
Well, yes.
I was going to say he didn't use hand sanitizer before shaking Zefram Cochrane's hand.
So we got a plus
minus. Well, he also, didn't he help reestablish communication with Voyager?
That's what I was going for.
He helped bring them home.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
The Pathfinder Project.
Okay. Yes.
Also, his cat is named Neelix, and I think that's kind of cute. Yeah.
Wait, say that into the microphone.
His cat is named Neelix, and I think that's kind of cute.
Jeez, that's awful. That's a lot.
He's a
right
pet
now.
Owner. He gets a shuttle pod.
Okay.
I see.
Hey, he worked hard through this.
You can't orphan the poor cat.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Because then Dana would have too.
I liked him because he was working through his social anxieties to make, you know, to get to whatever his objective was.
Yes.
Well, I was of two minds about him, actually. You know, I feel like in The Next Generation, he was, as you said, a somewhat relatable character, but he seemed to be more the cause of problems
right.
than the solution.
He brought Moriarty back accidentally.
He also he also, you know, was being a hypochondriac and therefore get injected with the solution that devolved the entire crew. Then
the whole awkward holosuite thing.
Yeah, his addictions. Then when he was on Voyager, I felt that that's when his character started to turn around. I mean, he had a rough start even with that, but he was involved with the project to regain communications. He was there as a witness for the Doctor when the Doctor was, you know, was
Doctor
the Doctor
Who?
No, not Doctor Who. Oh, you know, whether he was whether he had rights when he with the book. So I felt like they were almost two different people. You know, I want to give this person the airlock, and I want to give this person the shuttle pod.
That's not the way this game works.
I know, so that's why I was, you know.
I think redemption should mean something.
Yes. Character development. Yay.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
All right, so airlock it is.
I don't remember him in Redemption, part one or two.
Hold on, we gotta hold on.
So I would have to say that with Barclay, he is how a normal person would react to being in that situation. Everyone else is, you know, this super overblown I'm a perfect person thing. And he's, if you took a regular person off the street and you thrust them into this circumstance, that's how anyone would react.
But he's not a regular person. He's a star. He's a trained Starfleet officer.
So he would fit in on the Orville?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. I think we would all fit in on that.
But that's not the topic of this show.
No, the topic is Trek.
Not Orville.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, that's part of the problem I was having on The Next Generation is that he not only didn't like going on the transporter, he just walked away and wouldn't do it. And I thought that, well, but...
That takes balls. Man like that deserves to live.
Wow, I think we see which way the crowd is headed on this one.
It's a merciful crowd.
Indeed. All right, well, I think it's time to cast votes, and everybody's going to get a chance to vote on this one. So we are going to put it to the vote. Does Reginald Barclay get a shuttle pod?
It's almost unanimous.
Does he
I'm
get,
counting.
Does he get the airlock?
You don't get to take your stay, Chuck, aren't you?
You must choose. I had to choose.
He's a
override the controls and get himself out.
Chuck wants to send him off with Porthos.
Here we go.
Here you go. What was that?
He closed the door of the shuttle pod.
Oh, yeah.
Or apparently I opened the airlock.
Oh, well. Oops, my bad.
Wrong button, Scotty.
All right, well, we have a few minutes left, and what I'd like to, in with just real quick, we have one more set of stories. Do we have one more volunteer for one more quick set of stories? All right, I just want to get some new... If you would come up, please.
Lots of love, Daniel, but...
That's fine. She's already up there.
Yeah.
I am a fan of the 70s Wonder Woman outfit, by the way.
You gotta do the twirl.
Yeah, let's do the twirl.
There you go.
You can magic lesson.
And what is your name?
Renee.
Renee? Okay. All right, Renee, you know how the game is played. All right, so we will start off with Craig.
All right. In revelation that sent shockwaves all around the heart of the Federation... The head of the Marvel Studios has admitted that a key ingredient of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is taken from Star Trek film series. During a recent interview, Kevin Feige came to the realization that there is a destructive pattern to the third film in each of the Marvel Studios series. I have never thought about this before, but what we do in Iron Man 3, we blow up Tony's house. We blew up all of his suits. What did we do in Captain America 3? We shattered the Avengers. Shatter relationships with Tony, and half the characters have become his present-day foundation. Feige then mentioned the destruction of Asgard and Thor Ragnarok. Oh my God, we're doing one-trick ponies! Feige asked his interviewer to consider what happens in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and went on to explain they blow up the Enterprise. Then he admitted, that's where we got it. Marvel Entertainment is owned by Walt Disney Corporation, while Star Trek is the property of CBS Corporation, and Viacom. Vega gave no word on whether or not Asgard will eventually return as Asgard A, or if missing half of the population of the universe will eventually be found on Star Trek's Genesis planet.
All right, so that's our first story. Marvel stealing from Trek.
Yeah.
Our second story. Even 50 years after its debut, The Trouble with Tribbles is one of the most beloved episodes of any Star Trek series. But it turns out the episode's iconic aliens came from another sci-fi great. David Gerrold wrote The Trouble with Tribbles and created the titular alien creatures. But the idea was seemingly borrowed from the legendary science fiction author Robert Heinlein. Tribbles resemble flat cats, which Heinlein created in his novel, The Rolling Stones. Like tribbles, flat cats are troublesome creatures known for rapid reproduction. Heads of both Paramount and Desilu feared Heinlein would accuse them of plagiarism. They brought the issue to Heinlein's attention and asked for permission to continue. To their surprise, Heinlein granted it in exchange for a signed copy of the episode's script. Heinlein realized that Gerrold hadn't meant to rip him off and gave the episode his blessing. Tribbles have gone on to appear in multiple Star Trek episodes. Meanwhile, Heinlein is today considered a pillar of science fiction. His most notable works include Starship Troopers and Stranger in a Strange Land. So there's a case of Star Trek somewhat stealing from someone else. And our third story.
All right. As part of their ongoing legal action against Viacom, lawyers for CBS Corporation recently obtained records related to financial transactions of Paramount, a division within Viacom. One entry caught CBS attorney Jan Larson's attention. Quote, it was a recurring royalties payment of about $250. Larson explained, the checks were still being sent to Gene Roddenberry and were still being cashed. Gene Roddenberry, creator of Star Trek, passed away in 1991, as we're all well aware. Quote, at first we thought the payments might be going to his son, but Eugene Roddenberry had no knowledge of the payments. Larson discovered that the payments were indeed going to Gene Roddenberry of Bakersfield, California. Mr. Roddenberry, who had no relationship to the Star Trek creator, had been receiving the payments for over 30 years.
How convenient.
Nice. Quote, I never asked why the checks were coming, but I was glad they were, said Mr. Roddenberry. Due to a 1987 internal bookkeeping error, a portion of the payments meant for Trek's Gene Roddenberry were misdirected. Viacom has ceased the payments to Bakersfield's Mr. Roddenberry, but will not seek return of past payments.
They fixed the glitch.
All right, so there we go. We've got Marvel stealing from Star Trek stealing from Heinlein, or Star Trek stealing from Star Trek. So which of those stories is the false story?
Marvel stealing from Star Trek?
The false story is Star Trek stealing from Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry. But thank you so much, Renee. What have we got for you here?
Hold on. Come on. Come here. Give her the heavy item so we don't have to carry
it. All right.
I'm not lying, it's good.
You get a lovely devolving character from the Threshold Voyager. Episode of Voyager.
Thank you.
The one where they turn into salamanders. There's like a salamander Tom Paris with little salamanders around.
So I want to thank you all. Again, thank you for the Trek Track for having us. You can find us at thetopicistrek.com, on Facebook at The Topic is Trek, Twitter, The Topic is Trek, you get the idea. Please rate us in the app if you enjoyed the panel here to let people know about it. And a quick message about a charity event.
We are so excited to partner with Literacy Action. Sorry. I'll try to make this believable as well. We're so very excited to be partnered with Literacy Action Inc. in our 2018 official charity. DragonCon will again match dollar for dollar up to $100,000 any money raised for this charity at the 2018 convention. For nearly 50 years, Literacy Action has been a grassroots provider of free adult learning services, providing instruction to advanced Adults Towards Employment, Citizenship, Better Wages, and Post-Secondary Education. Founded in 1968 by volunteers. Yeah, 68. Volunteers at the Central Presbyterian Church in downtown Atlanta, Literacy Action is now the largest nonprofit provider of free adult basic education in Georgia with a staff of 28 and 21 locations. So if you're interested in helping adult literacy, we encourage you to contribute and take Dragon Con for all they're worth.
All right, thank you very much. And that is our panel.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you for coming.